Welcome to Manipulating the Masses. My name is Caitlin.
My name's Zach.
Don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You, the people, have the power.
Caitlin, we're back after a hiatus, a long hiatus. Why don't you give us a rundown? Well, we got a new format, a new identity-ish.
We're relaunching our podcast. We just have a little bit of a new format for you. We're going to do 5 minutes of some hot trending news and then go into our story. So what does it mean to relaunch the podcast to you, Zach, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, for me, just listening to feedback, I think just taking it. And then the big thing for me is trying to make it more useful to marketers, non-marketers in general, trying to give you something to take away that this is called manipulating the masses, and more than just kind of telling you why you're being manipulated, maybe giving you some tools and some ideas of how to spot it and how to counteract it. Because there's exactly. Many times in our first 3 seasons where you and I just get upset and we have no solutions. So we're going to try to have a little solution, and
we're just cleaning it up a little bit, buttoning it up, as you would say in the corporate world.
Yeah, or in the marketing world, a little optimization. We've taken in the data, optimized, and we're a little cleaner, fresher, driving it through. So as part of our new format, Caitlin, we're going to kick off. Our main story today is the marketing of getting your vote, which we will get into. I'm very excited to go over that. But we're going to kick off our new fire. I have a quick fire question for you, Caitlin. Off the spot, give me an answer real quick. Ready?
I'm scared.
You should be. Okay, my question to you is, should someone go to jail for catfishing? If you are catfishing, should that be a prosecutable offense?
Just like with anything, I think there's just varying degrees of catfishing. So it's so difficult. Right off the cuff, no.
You don't think so?
Okay. Here's the thing, and I know what you're going to say. Well, first of all, I don't know why we're talking about this. So I'm interested to see how this all ties back, if it does, or if you just wanted to know.
Nope, it ties into the story.
I think there's varying degrees, right? There's a relationship like online that's just kind of like she is a female, but she maybe just put up a picture of somebody else that looks slightly different, but she's still a female, and you know, whatever. That's kind of one degree. And then the other kind of opposite side of the scale is like Russians pretending like they are Americans infiltrating our Facebook ad network.
You just nailed what we're talking about. Yes. So there's, you're right. Varying degrees. I think that's a good call. In my opinion, I think the other angle of that is identity theft is a crime.
Exactly.
Where can you draw the line between identity theft? I think maybe if you're using, like if my pictures are being used by someone else catfishing as me, maybe that's where the line is. And I can say, you have stolen my pictures. You have used my likeness and my identity.
It's so difficult because in this digital age, if you put a picture out on the internet, that is the internet's to have.
I agree with
that. Like you've given that right up. That's actually, this was supposed to be a quick hitting question, and we could probably talk about this for the whole podcast. But one quick note about that, like putting your image out there on the internet, that is actually why we're seeing people scale back on putting their child's image out there and child likeness out there on the internet because of that very same reason. Like people can do whatever they want with that image, which is so dangerous, and disgusting, and whatever.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean,
no set answer. It's a philosophical question. All right. To that end, Caitlin, before we get into the main story about Russians pretending to be Americans, hit me with some news. What's going on this week
in the marketing world.
In the marketing world,
I stayed niche. You're never going to know any. Well, actually, maybe one of them. I have three topics to cover. One, we know Harrison Butker, correct? We all know
no.
Harrison. Yes, you do. He's the kicker for the Chiefs.
Yes.
Who gave a commencement speech.
Yes.
And he basically said women need to stay. Like, we're very excited for the women to be graduating, but also get back to the kitchen is to yeah. summarize what he said. Mm-hmm. So somebody online named his username is Word Clown.
Okay.
You're gonna be like, why didn't we think of this? But his I think his real name is Toby Morton.
Call him out.
No, we like him. We like Word Clown. We like Toby Morton. So I'm gonna show you. Toby Morton has created a website using, oh my God, great. It circles back, using Harrison Butker's likeness. He purchased the domain harrisonbutker.net.
Yes. Good for
I
him.
Know. He created a website and he's launching it. He actually, yeah. Oh, it's launching tomorrow, everyone. So I'll keep everyone updated, but I'm going to share what kind of the general gist is for people following along on our YouTube channel. You can see it up and I'm going to post it on our Instagram channel, but essentially it's a picture of Harrison Butker and the tagline is focus on your man, embrace the kitchen. And it's just one big satirical website.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he he's gotten kind of not death threats, but he's definitely gotten threats. I don't know if Harrison Butker's lawyers have been involved in this, but he's also gotten people who like, anonymous people who are trying to purchase this domain from him. Good stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Good for him. Good for him.
This guy, this anonymous person, is offering
$300 for that domain. Nah, not worth
pass.
It. Yeah.
All right. That's number one. Number one in websites. Number two, this happened actually probably 4 or 5 years ago. The Denver airport was undergoing some construction, but the marketing signs have recently resurfaced again. You're nodding your head like you've already seen this and you know what I'm talking about.
I have seen this and I love this so much. I love yeah. that they did this. It's so good.
The marketing team just said, fuck it. We're going to play into this. So for our listeners who don't necessarily know about the Denver airport, the summary is the Denver airport renovated quite a long time ago and they spent an ungodly amount of money renovating, and people were just curious, like, where did all this money go? Like, nobody should be spending that amount of money in an airport facility. So the theory is that there's actually an underground kind of like labyrinth for the world leaders for when there's yeah. a nuclear war.
Among other conspiracies, there are many yeah. conspiracies about the Denver
it's great.
Airport.
If you yeah. want to get into some lore this week, go into the Denver airport lore. It's fantastic. Recently resurfaced, the marketing team for the Denver airport, they were doing some construction around 2020. And they just created these signs around the Denver airport that said, their taglines are we creating the world's greatest airport? ? Or preparing for the end of the world? ?
Yep.
Learn the truth yep. at denfiles.com. And there's a collage of those. And I just love this. I love when a marketing team just leans into conspiracy or just leans into the bad PR. I mean,
yeah,
that's how you fight it.
What I really love about this is they've made airport construction interesting. Like, the website is like, people are going to be interested in it now. The other one Caitlin's showing is, what are we doing? Adding amazing new restaurants and bars, building an Illuminati headquarters, and remodeling the lizard people's lair, which is all references to the conspiracy theories around the Denver airport. And there's a lizard person in the ad. Mm-hmm. Like, they went full on, which is amazing.
The next slide is an alien. It says, yes, Den's got some secrets. Mm-hmm. Since the airport's opening in 1995, there have been endless rumors and theories. People say our underground tunnels lead to secret meeting facilities for the world's elite. Our blue horse is thought of to be cursed. Some believe we are connected to the New World Order, the Freemasons, and are home to the lizard people. Learn the truth at denfiles.com, which I went to denfiles.com and it leads to their About Us page, which, great. Fantastic way to get traffic. Love that.
Agreed. Nobody's going to say, hey, read more. Go to denverairportrenovations.com and read what we're going to be putting in. But they will go. And they'll still get the same information. It's genius marketing. It's like,
it is.
Just lean into it. Well done. Well done. Mm-hmm. Very good stuff.
That's all I got for you. I did have one other thing, but I know I want to stay on schedule to our new format. So maybe I'll bring it to you next week.
Keep it in my pocket. Yeah, well done. Yeah, I actually saw the Denver Airport ones too. So really good stuff, Caitlin. Some good marketing stuff. And that's part of our new things. Take away some fun stuff with you.
Get into some lore while you're at it. We love lore. Yeah.
Well, let's keep the lore continuation going. So let's get into our main story today. The marketing of getting your vote with the 2024 elections coming up. You know, I think it's a good time to release this. Let people know what's going to happen, what is already happening. And we learn that by looking back at what's happened. So I, before we get into the main thing, our new format, stay true to that. I have 5 fantastic facts for you, Caitlin. You know I love alliteration. So 5 fantastic facts. Let me hit you with you. Number 1, fantastic fact. In 2016, over 30 million Americans shared Russian-made propaganda about the election. 30 million people. That's not seen. That's not liked. That's not comment. That is actively shared on their own profiles, Russian-made propaganda. 30 million.
How many millions of people are in the United States?
300-ish million. Oh, so like 10% of people shared their propaganda. On average, in October 2016, every single American was exposed to at least 4 Russian propaganda posts a day on average in the month of October leading up to election. Every American saw 4 Russian propaganda posts a day.
Every American? On what platform?
On average. Across all social media platforms. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. All the things that were big in 2016. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. And then after the election, so these stats come out. After the election, Facebook announced that it had only removed 301 groups and pages affiliated with the Russian troll farm. So lots of posts, lots of activity, only 301 groups that were flagged and removed. AKA, there's more out there. It's estimated that Russia spent $125 million on boosted posts and social media ads in the run-up to the 2016 election.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, is this not blowing your mind a little bit? And my favorite fact, the 5th fantastical fact, the mastermind of the Russian propaganda blitz in 2016 died in a mysterious plane crash last year. It was proven that there was explosives on the plane that caused it to dive head first, but no one has been arrested, no one has been convicted, and no one knows who did it. And this is the guy that created everything.
Okay, question. So you said the mastermind behind the propaganda, is he a Russian or is he an American?
No, he's a Russian. He's called Putin's chef. He's forget his first name. His last name's Prigozhin. But he basically not, I don't think he was killed because of this. When Russia invaded Ukraine 2 years ago, last year, he actually took his Wagner group, his mercenary group, and started marching them to Moscow in an attempted coup, to take over Putin. So he turned on Putin and then he got to Moscow and met with Putin secretly and then called everything off. And then about 2 weeks later, died in a plane crash.
Basically just committed suicide, if you ask me. Why would you try to overthrow Putin?
Yeah, he done fucked up. But he was the mastermind behind this entire
And when you say mastermind, can you give us an idea of like how he coordinated this? Like, was he a marketer and was he like, I know what channels we can go through? Facebook.
I think he's more like a CEO face of it, but he did mastermind the overall strategy and what they were trying to do. And then I'm sure he had deputies that relied and knowledgeable people that started to utilize social media and other platforms.
So he was like, let's send propaganda. And then some person down the totem pole was like, I know a way to do this. Facebook ads.
Yes. Got it. Essentially.
And are you going to get into what the propaganda they...
You know I am. So those are it, just to give you a sense of the scale of this thing. Because at the end of the day, the whole Russia 2016 story has been beaten to death. It has been covered by every news outlet who puts its own spin on the story. And the word, even like news outlets cover it. The FBI released like a non-blamey report. They put out some warrants for some Russian agents. And everybody, the word that they land on is meddling. Russia meddled in our 2016 election. What does that mean? And why is it important now? Is essentially what we're going to be answering this whole time. And first of all, like, it's important because this is clearly an election year. There's a lot of similarities to 2016 where it's two candidates. Nobody's really that excited about. Nobody's like, rah, rah, I want this candidate.
Are you hesitating?
No, I'm being centrist as much as I can. But it's true. Right? Like, yeah, it's true. Like nobody's really excited about either candidate. I think you talk to 100 people on the street and 95 of them will say, yeah, I'm reluctantly voting for one or the other. Not only this, we lead into 2024. There's been news articles. Russia is doing the same exact thing that they did in 2016, and I'll give you some examples in a bit. But not only that, some other players have entered the chat. China has been flagged at doing this as well. So there are other people doing the same thing that Russia did in 2016, the playbook. And I do want to clarify before we get into the main point is, you know, when people talk about this, Russia didn't like change anybody's vote after they cast them. They didn't like hack these voting machines and switch votes. It's just what they did, and why it's important for you and I to cover this is it's simple legal advertising tactics that you and I do all the time for clients day in, day out. The difference is for the listener, Caitlin and I use it to try to convince you what shoes to buy. But state powers do the exact same thing to influence who sits in the Oval Office, which is a very big deal. So
they might not have hacked our votes, but do we dare say they manipulated us?
They manipulated us 100% successfully. And we have metrics to prove that they successfully manipulated us. So like Caitlin said, they manipulated us. And hopefully by the end of this episode, you'll have a better understanding of how countries are using these advertising tactics so you can better spot propaganda and counter it best you can, not share it, not engage with it. Write it off, scroll right past it.
Block it, report it.
That's not going to do anything. Facebook's not going to do anything about it. But scroll past it is what our goal is today.
You can block.
You can block it from your feed. So are we ready to get into the main story? That was my setup. All right.
I'm buckled.
All right. Let me give you some background. We're going to start with what we call the troll farm, Caitlin. Story starts in St. Petersburg, Russia, which I would have you point out on a map, but good luck with that. It's a long, it's in Russia.
Is it center? Is it the center of Russia?
No, but it's a good try. It's the
to the right?
Side.
Nah, to the left.
Other side,
left.
Other side, left side. And let me take you to a scene. It's along this small, nondescript side street. There's no sign on this building. The windows are covered. There's no markings. There's just literally nothing of note on this building, four-story building. And this is what Russia calls the Internet Research Agency. And thanks to some very brave journalists, that infiltrated it and took their story out, we know the inside operation. So let me break this down for you, Caitlin. And you think about setting up 2016. So you think about setting up your ideal marketing agency, and let's see how this aligns with our perfect marketing agency. So four floors, each floor is jam-packed with computers, right? And every single floor had their specific role in this propaganda machine. Do you want to take a stab at the first kind of foundational piece of this propaganda machine, or do you want me to just get into it?
As in like the actual physical infrastructure?
Or... Yeah, if you're setting up, if you have four stories in a marketing agency and your job is to get content that you're creating out there to the masses and shared and leveraged as much as possible, what do you think the foundational piece, what do you put on the first story of your marketing agency?
A reception desk.
Nah, well, they don't have one. They don't even have a sign. But like, what's the function? Do you have a guess? I'll give you a hint. It's what you do in our marketing agency. You would live on the first floor.
Imagery, videography. It's a photo studio.
Website design. Come on, Caitlin. Website design.
I do a lot. I wear many hats. I do it all.
You do wear many hats, but you would be on the first floor. So the first floor is website design and creation. They are building websites.
See, don't ask me any more questions about this because this is totally subjective. Like a website, like there's no rhyme or reason to any floor that they're going to put people.
Foundational piece. Fair enough.
Okay.
They would build websites, and these workers would create news websites that looked legitimate, but would actually be in control of Russia, right? So news publication websites. And let me give you a few examples of the websites that the Russian propagandists created. These were actually flagged a few months ago by the FBI. So they're still creating them. They're still making them. The first one, DC Weekly, is the name of the website owned by Russian propaganda. Next one, New York News Daily.
Nice.
Third one is Chicago Chronicle.
Nice.
And another example is the Miami Chronicle.
Classic.
Yeah, so all of these websites that they're creating are designed. They have news names. They look like news organizations. They are basically, but they are run by Russian propagandists. So they build this foundational piece of being able to create websites and content that looks exactly like a news organization. And this one will blow your mind, Caitlin. In fact, in 2016, they created a site called Blacktivist.com, which, again, run by Russian propagandists. Blacktivist.com and its social following, its social profiles associated with this website, gained about 500,000 followers in the run-up to the 2016 election, which is more than the official Black Lives Matter page. So Blacktivist.com, created by Russia, got more leverage, reach, followers than Black Lives Matter.
Wow. Wow.
That's how good they are at this, right?
I'm trying to Google these sites. Question for you. Are they trying to rank in Google, or is it just basically a house? So when you are sending out paid ads, people are going to click on it and go back to an actual site. Are they trying to rank organically in Google?
No, I would assume not. But they're using it as kind of a foundational piece. So then they create a social profile associated with that, like DC Weekly. So then they can post an article on the website, create a post on social media that sends out, have people share it, comment it. And if people do click on it, they actually have a legitimate website to look. So they're starting at the foundation.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. They're actually, I would argue they're working backwards because they're like, we need to send out propaganda. If people click on this, so the main objective is sending out propaganda. And then if people click on it, oh yeah, this is kind of like plan B. We need a website. We need a website that people can can land on. Also, the Blacktivist, it's still a website. I want, you did mention blacktivist.com instead of theblacktivists.com.
It told me in the articles blacktivist.com.
It might still be up.
And in particular, you know, and if you can find these websites, you go on it. And if you do discover it, it looks like a regular website. You know, it's not just propaganda. Like, they cover crime, they cover culture in the area, they cover politics. So it's, the propaganda is just kind of like folded in, and it's part of the white noise of just content creation.
Right.
And many of these sites in the lead up to the 2016 election would actually hire very real freelance journalists to contribute to the website to gain it more legitimacy.
Wow.
So they would pay freelance journalists who would, you know, go out, write an article, post it, and then that freelance journalist who's an actual journalist would promote that article on there, and it lends this air of credibility. So they're building this kind of like foundational, this is a real trusted news organization. Okay. I won't ask you. Well, I'm still going to ask you the question. So, you know, the first foundational floor is web design. What do you think the second floor is? The second layer of this is, once you have a website, what do you got to fill it with?
Content.
You got it. So the second floor is bloggers, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bloggers.
Hundreds,
Caitlin, hundreds.
Oh, you
of
know
bloggers.
What's scary? Sorry to interrupt, but in 2016, we didn't have the capabilities of AI that we do now. And that is fucking scary because, good Lord, they were hiring hundreds of human beings. Imagine how much content they can pump out with ChatGPT.
Oh, we will be touching on that in the campaign. A lot has changed in those 8 years from 2016 to 2024. A lot more tools at their disposal. But here, they actually were able to figure out the bloggers day to day. So let me tell you, you're a Russian blogger working on DC Weekly. This is your day to day. You work 12-hour shifts every other day, right? Every other day.
Oh, every other day.
Every other day, you go 12 straight hours, and their quota is 10 blogs per shift of at least 750 words. So in those 12 hours, you're writing 10 blogs, 750 words at a minimum, and then they rotate the bloggers. So this is round-the-clock content production, cranking it out nonstop all the time. And you just like thinking about that, hundreds of bloggers round-the-clock, 10 blogs for every 12 hours. You try to do the math, and the amount of content they were producing was ridiculous. So they built these fake news website, fill it with content. Go ahead.
For a sweatshop type dynamic that they're running here, 7 blogs actually seems kind of doable. And the every other
10
day.
10 blogs in like, 12 hours? About an
sorry, sorry,
hour,
sorry. 10 blogs, yeah.
Hour-ish per blog? Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like really reasonable. And the every other day, it sounds like a great work-life balance, if I do say
12
so.
Straight hours, and then you get a day
and every
off
other and day, that's back. Like 6 hours a day if you break it out.
Fair enough.
I know.
Don't credit Russia on their human rights, but hey, if you're at the Internet Research Agency, maybe you got a little cushiness going for you. So that's the second floor, bloggers, content creation. Third floor, you want to take a stab at this one, or you want me to tell you?
Data, SEO.
No. Once you have the content created, what do you need to get it out there, get it found?
You need marketers.
Okay, I'll give you that one. Marketers. Yeah. So the third floor was account creation and commenters.
Oh, account creation. Oh,
so these people would just create thousands and thousands of fake profiles on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the social media, just thousands. Their job was just to create constant fake profiles. And then what their other quota was for each profile they had, the commenter was tasked with 126 comments and 2 posts on each account per day.
Again, seems reasonable. Doesn't it seem reasonable?
But if you're managing, let's say 70 accounts, right? Like that's a lot of, they're just going around commenting and then 2 posts on each of these fake profiles a day to make it seem legitimate. So there, you can see how this is all coming together, right? Like, build a fake news site, fill it with fake content, now you have all of these accounts that are going to comment on real stuff and get views and all of that stuff, and just creating a constant influx of fake accounts.
Okay. Since you want to talk about the infrastructure of this agency, I would do it differently.
What would you do?
I would create pods.
Oh, you would have like a designer, a blogger, yes. Yeah. A commenter.
Yes.
Oh.
I would have an account creator. I would have the blogger, and then I would have the web designer all working together, because they're all operating the same, you know, websites and content and accounts.
Oh.
And they need to communicate with each other. So that's how I would do it.
Well, Russia, if you're listening, Caitlin is horrible at project management, so don't take that idea. No, she's great at it. That is a wonder. I would do the same thing. That's a wonderful idea. Please don't steal it, Russia. Please don't optimize your delivery. That would be awful. But you're right, Caitlin. That's a better way
to
do it.
Thank you.
So, and then, well, to build your pod, so you have three of them, there's a fourth one.
I know, who's the fourth one?
You want to take a stab? Because I thought you would find this one particularly interesting.
Influencers.
No.
You got to be the face of it. Someone's got to be the face of the...
You're kind of right. I'll give you that one too. You're kind of right. This is imagery and memes in particular is the fourth floor. So creating propaganda, I mean, speaking the internet's language, they would create memes all day, every day, and just post them on forums and dark corners and get those going, as well as AI and Photoshop generated images to go along with the articles and the posts and everything.
And that was in 2016 too. That is so fucking scary, because ChatGPT didn't even become, like, AI wasn't even introduced to the common people until a year ago. And it's gonna get so much worse.
That's why I wanted to kick off season four with this, because it is, well, you answered my question. Yeah. So.
I can definitely tell when an image is AI, but sometimes they're so good now that you have to like do a double take. Like, is that kid AI?
And most people, unless they're listening to this podcast and being informed about what's happening, are not going to do a double take. And, you know, it's just insane. So the next piece of it, that's kind of the foundation of what they've built, right? The next piece of this, and this is where you and I can really speak to, is beating the algorithm. They've found ways to beat the algorithm. And for the average user, I want to explain how they're beating the algorithm of social media so they show up more in your feeds. And for me, I have you layering in some pepper here, but for me, it starts with a friend request, right? We've all got them. Somebody unknown, you don't know who they are, random person, looks normal. Maybe they have one or two mutual friends of yours, but they are just blasting out friend requests. And all it takes is one person in their blasting out of friend requests. All it takes is one mutual friend that's just accepting every friend request that comes into their inbox. They blast it out. You accept a friend of someone you might not know, and they're in. Not just to you,
mortified.
Not just to your friend, but to you. If you have a mutual friend with one of those Russian fake accounts, they can access you very easily. So let me just recap the process. Russian, they create thousands of fake profiles. And all of these fake profiles are friends with each other, right? Like, if you're creating, and all of these people in this little internet research agency are friending each other. So these fake profiles have 3,000, 4,000 friends of other fake profiles. Then they blast out thousands of friend requests from each profile to actual people. And doing quick math on it, let's say one profile sends out 3,000 friend requests and only 5% of people accept it. And most people are like, no, I don't know you. I don't want you in my friends list. 5% of people accept it. That's 150 new friends of this fake profile. Now, of those 150 friends, let's be on the conservative end and say each one of those dumb friends that accept it have 200 friends of themselves, right?
I'd like to interrupt here, and yes. I'd like you to talk nicely about the people who accept these Russian.
I saw you get mortified when I said that, but I thought you were thinking of a friend. Have you done this, Caitlin?
I'm crying.
I thought you were thinking of someone else. I assumed, Caitlin, I was like, there's no way you work in this industry. There's no fucking way that you're just accepting people into your network.
2016 was a dark year. Let's just all reflect on 2016. Okay. Oh my God, I'm actually crying.
I truly take back all the dumb things. I don't mean that. Very smart people fall for this, and this is why we're covering it.
It can happen to anyone, people. But talking about somebody who we might know possibly doing this, I remember it's very... Oh God, it's just like I'm so mortified because this very thing happened where like a guy that was somewhat relatively like, I don't remember an exact scenario, but I remember this somewhat scenario coming up where this guy who looked the same age as I did. And I noticed that he had friends from my high school. That's the thing. It was like all high school friends. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a mix of like college friends or anything. Cause if that was happening, I'd be like, how do those guys know each other? I'm so confused. Yeah. So in my head, I was like, this guy, did I go to high school with him? And I just don't remember, which is even worse, Zach, because my high school, I graduated with 80 people. Like, this is not a school that like was thousands and thousands of people. This was a very tiny high school. And my stupid, dumb 24-year-old brain was like, did I go to high school with him? Yep, except. And
oh, man.
We're here.
And now you're here and you're a part of the machine. Oh, okay. Well, hey, that explanation makes a lot of sense though. So yes, I take back all of the things about like, it's a well-structured system. It's a well-built system.
Think like that is insane to me. Cause I think like, oh yeah, propaganda. It's all about ads. It's all about ads. And like, I understand how the algorithm works. Did I think that some random person was friending me who also had all of my high school friends? No, absolutely not. Like I did not think that was a part of the machine, and that is fucking insane.
Yes, this is the brilliant, and this is why I love covering this, because I think people don't understand the mechanisms that they did this. So if you are leading up to the election, if you're getting random friend requests from people that you don't know, leave them be. Do not, unless you directly know this person, do not take that friend request, because the issue is now, Caitlin, they have access to all of your friends. They can easily reach all of your friends because you are a direct connection. That's how the algorithm works. Yeah, and to finish my thought, like if they send out 3,000 friend requests, 5% accept it, that's 150 new friends. Each of those people have 200 friends in their network on average. Every day, they're getting access to 30,000 profiles.
You know what the worst part is, Zach? It's like, did I accept this person because I was interested in reconnecting with this person? I thought it absolutely not. You know, I accepted them because I was like, one more friend to add to my number count. Like, cool.
Vanity. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Vanity, 100%.
And that's how it works. That's how they get you. You're like, oh, I want to have, and this is the problem. It's still an issue today with followers. How much is your follower count? What do you want? And anything and everything you can do to grow that number, you're going to do it, because America runs on pseudo fame. So people are accepting everybody. And now they're in your network, right? And so what happens, essentially, how they reach your friends and reach your network is, the Russian fake websites and Russian fake bloggers will create a fake post. It'll be shared by these fake profiles, posted by these fake profiles, which goes directly to their own network. So Caitlin's seen a direct post of this bullshit article layered as Chicago Chronicle. And what happens of those numbers, all of the other fake accounts like it and share it and are interacting with it. So then Facebook says, or Instagram or whatever profile says, hey, this is a post that people are really engaging with. This is a post that people are really, really interested in. And their algorithm is built to keep you on the profile. So they're going to share that post not only with Caitlin, but with all of Caitlin's friends, because it is triggered in their algorithm as a very engaging post that people really like. They want you to comment. They want you to like things. They want you to share things. So if a particular post is getting a lot of those, it's going to be shown up a lot more. And Russia is basically manufacturing this from all of these fake profiles while using it to integrate into real people's feeds.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. So I typically lean left in my politics.
Yes.
So if Russia was infiltrating a left-leaning person, what type of propaganda are they putting out that would make me want to click on these articles? And then that, I mean, to me, like the logical answer is like, that's kind of the gateway drug. Like you start to maybe like, it starts to maybe hint at like, hey, Biden is doing something incorrectly. And then the next article I see is like, hey, we hate Biden. Then the next article we see is like, okay, definitely don't vote for Biden. Then the next article you see is Trump. Is that kind of like the pathway and the roadmap to getting a left-leaning person to vote in opposition to their candidate?
I think that is a wonderful question. And I'll give an example. I have a theory of what's going to happen coming up that we'll touch on. But what happened in 2016 was for left-leaning people in particular, they would send them pro-Bernie Sanders content, why Bernie Sanders was better than Hillary Clinton.
So they introduced the third party and then they're taking away the votes.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fucking smart. God damn it.
Yeah, I know,
that's what
right?
They do.
I know. So like they're doing like, hey, the DNC isn't looking out for you. Bernie Sanders should have won. They're taking, and then particularly we gave the example of Blacktivists. They are putting out left-leaning content of, you know, people, the police aren't on your side. Like there's no use in being a part of the democratic system because all of these negative things are happening. And that's what people will share. It's designed to elicit emotion and be extreme. And that's what people share on social media. Does that answer your question?
100% answers my question. 100%.
Yeah. And the example that I pulled was for the right side was they actually fabricated that there's a real life news story and I'll follow it through. So they posted, they took this quick little 3-second video of Hillary Clinton stumbling. She stumbled after she got out of a car. Right? She stumbled. That was it. It was like a little trip. They snipped that. And then they started putting out content on their fake news websites about Hillary Clinton having brain damage and having, severe issues with severe health issues. They started posting that. They used their fake profiles to get it everywhere. It started showing up in people's feeds, who then started clicking on it and sharing it themselves. Real Americans clicking on it and sharing it themselves. That started to share within their own network. Soon, it's picked up by CNN and Fox News and New York Times, who are seeing this on social media being a major story. So they cover this brain damage health issue story. And then all of a sudden, this seed, this little 3-second snippet that Russia planted is covered on legitimate news sites. And it happens so fast because not only are people on social media constantly scrolling, but news sites in this 24-hour age are so hungry for content that if they see people talking about it, they're going to talk about it because they want the traffic, they want the views, because that's how they make money. So
it's such a trendy thing to say this in this day and age, to be like, the main media is brainwashing you. The media wants you to believe this and this, but the media is actually getting its information from the internet. And you're the one on the internet telling me what to think.
Yes. It's an echo chamber. It's just looking in the mirror and telling yourself what's going on in the day. Like it is a messed up system. Traditional media hasn't caught up. Social media moves so fast that they can't keep up. So they rely on social media. But then social media is being fed with disinformation and propaganda. It's nuts, right? So then let's get into the next phase of this. That is, and I'm going to stay on time, I promise you, but let's get into the next phase very quickly. And the next phase of this is, after you get everything spread out, now you have a level of personalization and targeting that you can do on social media that we do every single day for our clients. So really, for me, the true beauty of a campaign as a creative, Caitlin, you will disagree, but the true beauty of a campaign we run on the marketing end is the targeting. right? It's not, it's who's going to see this and who is more likely to actually engage in this. So Russia did this as well. So they layered in just kind of basic content, filling the creating noise with actual targeted ads and targeted messaging. And as advertisers, like we're given this data, we can access people in data in clumps, right? Like, so we can target, for example, like if we're selling a camo, you know, jacket, we can target people that like hunting. And, you know, I get a lot of soccer ads because they've bucketed me into soccer lovers, right? We can even do on life events, like people who are recently engaged, recently married, we can send them wedding information. Like, they cluster this and we have access to it. We can send ads. We all are in there somehow, some way. So really quickly, Caitlin, can you give us like a really high level, and think back, because we ran this campaign a while ago for these pre-made smoothies. Can you remember the targeting that we did? We were trying to find Walmart shoppers, right? So can you remember kind of the layering of people that we did?
Well, I feel like what I'm going to say is obvious, but like we talk about sex, right? So we targeted a lot of females.
Correct.
We targeted a lot of age groups. So I think it was like moms for sure was one. We actually had three separate groups. So
yep,
there were a couple of them. I know we were really targeting Gen Z too.
Yep.
In terms of interests, fitness, am I on the right track? Nutrition.
Yeah, you're on the right track for the Gen Z. Yeah, fitness, nutrition, health, conscious mm-hmm. health foods. Mm-hmm. If you like mm-hmm. health foods,
we tried to run a mom campaign, and I can't remember how that one
we straight up targeted parents.
Actually, the biggest one was location, wasn't it?
Yep.
We wanted California, New York, and all these like hot, trendy cities. But where do people shop at Walmart? It's typically in the suburbs. So we were targeting suburban mothers, women. And I think like Oklahoma, like I remember did really well or something like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Well put. Well put. Yeah. Good memory. And I think like overall, like we layered in things like people that love discount shoppers, people that are more likely to click on things when they show a discount. We did like people, they had an endorsement from one of the hosts of Dancing with the Stars. So we did people that like Dancing with the Stars, people that follow that page.
Right,
so this
yeah.
is stuff that we do on the day to day. Facebook and Instagram and all the social networks give us access to this.
Zach, how do you know if someone likes Dancing with the Stars? How does Facebook group people in that?
Yeah, there's a few great questions. There's a few things. If you obviously follow the page, every show, every company, everybody has their own Facebook page. So if you follow the page, clearly that's it. But the other thing is this engagement piece. If there's a clip of some Dancing with the Stars show and you like a person on there and you like that, you're in that bucket. If you comment on it, you're in that bucket. Even Caitlin, if you hover over the post for a certain length of time and you're watching, if it's a video and you watch 75% of the video, you're in that bucket. You don't even have to take an action. It's literally monitoring everywhere your mouse is moving, how far you're scrolling. If you hover over a post, maybe one or two posts that are related to it, and it's clear that you're like reading it, you're in that bucket.
Is it true that like back in the day, I don't know how long ago, it would have to be like you would have to be a part of a group or you would have to like something in order for Facebook to kind of get that data? And no, not true.
Not really, but they actually went the other direction. Yeah, it's all engagement.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking scary because like you said, I could hover over a New York Post article talking about how great Trump is just because I'm interested to see the shit show that could be. And all of a sudden I'm grouped into that and now I'm receiving ads.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Whoa. Exactly. You know, I get some Republican people giving ads on me because I hate watch Fox News, right? Like I just want to know what they're talking about and I will
it's
sit there.
It's important to have perspective.
Yeah. I agree. I just want to know what they're talking about. So basically, and this is how Russia did the targeting, right? Most of this targeting that Caitlin and I are talking about is harmless, right? Like it's weird. It feels big brothery, but it's harmless. Mm-hmm. We're sending you products, we're sending you services. And ideally, like if I'm a guy, I don't want to be sent ads or about mascara are useless to me because I'm not in their market. So it's really just trying to make your experience a little more tailored to you, right? At its core. But the targeting was expertly leveled by these Russian propagandists. So they created, like I said, Bernie Sanders content, pro-Trump content. They created a lot of content, and they would segment audiences and send them content that they know would essentially get them to engage, right?
And just to double down on that, that's all you need to do is engage, and you're in that audience all of a sudden. I just have to double down on that.
But Russia added in another layer that you and I do sometimes with customer lists and emails. They added in this layer to make it just with laser precision. So what they did, it started in 2015. The FBI actually notified 21 states in the country that their voter registration database was hacked by Russia. So this database of everybody registered, I mean, the information there is for the most part harmless, right? It's your name, your address, your age, your phone number. But the most important part is your party affiliation. Are you a registered Democrat? Are you a registered Republican? And the 21 states, not all states have this in their voter registration, but the 21 states that were hacked do have this information in their voter registration. So from my theory, that's what they're going at for party affiliation. And what they did was they took those emails, your email and your party affiliation in that database, and they ran it through Facebook, and Facebook could match up. If you use the same email that you use for your voter registration that you use on your Facebook account, they match those up. And now all of a sudden you have age, you have where you work, where you play, along with your party affiliation and maybe even your voting history. So they're able to build this audience of people likely to vote Democrat. Maybe they're unregistered, but they voted Republican. They're able to segment these people with laser precision because they hacked this database.
And they did hack it. That's a real
100%. They hacked it. The FBI came out with a notice. They did not release all 21 states that were hacked, but the ones that they did release all have that party affiliation in there. Some of them they didn't want to say that they were hacked, but they were hacked 100%. So just kind of talking about this, right? So they're targeting you. They're putting out content. They're just sending just chaos, right? They're just trying to create chaos. So what's the KPI? What's the goal? Why are they doing this, right? It's not to like get Donald Trump elected. It's really not to get Joe Biden elected. It's truly not. Putin himself has come out and said it is to sow distrust in the idea of democracy. Their goal is for people to distrust this democracy. And let me ask you, Caitlin, do you think it's working?
100%. I distrust democracy 100%.
100% it's working, right? They don't care who's in there. They just want people. They want democracy to eat itself alive. That is their goal. So let me wrap up the main story with a real world example. That happened.
Can I just say, I'm so happy. I was going to ask you this question, but I didn't want to put you on the spot. I'm so happy that you answered that bigger question. Why? What was the why in all this? Yes. Because it was like, yes, we know that Putin and Trump have ties together, but are they that buddy-buddy that they're willing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to get Trump elected? No, they're willing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to see America crumble.
And this is where I think traditional media has gotten it so wrong, is if you, like, the left-wing sites are like, they just did this to get Donald Trump elected.
Yeah.
The right-wing sites are like, well, yeah, they didn't change any votes. They didn't do anything. So that's not the goal. The goal is for us to start to distrust the idea of democracy and it's fucking working.
Wow.
So let me give you the real world example here. In 2016, so Russia created two Facebook groups, right? Using one of their Facebook groups called Heart of Texas, which was, you know, some things posting as little as like a guy in a cowboy hat that says, like, if you want to have a great day, right? It's this page about the overall messaging is people that want to go for the secession of Texas. They want Texas to be its own country. They want it to secede from the United States is the mission of this page. Right. So they use this page, the Heart of Texas, and they put money, they put up a Facebook event on May 21st called Stop Islamification of Texas, where they promoted people to come protest outside this courthouse to stop the Islamification of Texas, because they know the people that want to secede are, they don't like Islamic people.
Good old American boys.
And another Facebook group, run by the Russian propagandists called the United Muslims of America.
Oh.
They promoted an event on the same day, in the same place, at the same time,
called
Stop Islamic or Save Islamic Knowledge. So you have Heart of Texas secessionists saying stop Islamification of America on one side of the street. On the other side of the street, you have this group, United Muslims of America, protesting Save Islamic Knowledge. The two protests, hundreds on each side of real American people came out to protest on their side, and the scene just descended to chaos. Verbal attacks, things thrown. It was a heated area, all manufactured by Russian propagandists. It actually required police presence, so taxpayers are paying for this. And eventually local news came out to cover the event, which was then picked up by national news stations. And here's the whole crux of it, right? There's something going on. Russia manufactured. Local news is like, yeah, okay, we're going to go to cover this counter protest. Then national news picks it up. Here's how much we're divided. We're so divided. Everybody's not getting along. All from a seed of Russian propaganda.
Not only that, but those groups become real groups now. These invented groups become real organizations.
Yes.
And also, I just want to like take a moment of silence right now for all Americans, because do you not feel like a puppet? Like I thought personally, I was like, I am smarter than this. I don't use the internet this way. I know how the algorithm works. I don't feed into this. But I am so, I have personally fallen victim to this, and the whole democracy question that was it that just ate at my core. Because I swear to God, 3 years later, I was like, I think I'm a socialist. Right up, I was like, you know, socialism isn't that bad.
Well, that's the economic one, but I'll let you slide on that one. That's a capitalism. We distrust, which Putin's also trying to do. Capitalism is part of it, right?
Yeah, but I think that all feeds into it, right? Like it starts with the economics, and then you work up to like, okay, what do we do? Build a monarchy? Like, can just one person be in charge?
I agree. It goes, it's feeding and it's working, and none of us are trying to stop it, because I think the media has let us down, our leaders have let us down, and most importantly, these social networks that everybody uses and everybody's a part of have massively let everyone down, because their priority is users and engagement, so they make more money. Nobody's looking at this.
The picture I have in my head is just some guy in a dark, dark, dark office with a tiny little screen, just watching like a security camera, America, just literally. And all he's doing is like pulling the little trigger. He's navigating this whole thing. He's playing a little video game, pushing the buttons, you know, and I like, that is the image I have in my head, and I am on that screen.
Yep. They're watching, and they're manipulating, to use the, like, that's all they're doing.
I literally feel like a puppet, and they are puppet masters.
Yes. And they're doing it through basic content. So, and I just want to emphasize the point that we looked at 2016 as we wrap this up. This is still happening. This is currently ongoing. It's been reported, right, but not massively reported, that they did the same tactic with the Israel-Hamas conflict. Their goal is just the distrust in democracy, though. So they're leveraging any controversy, any disagreement we have, and they're amplifying it incredible amounts. And wow. You think of all of these pro-Palestine protests and these pro-Israeli protests, and you can't help but think how much of this is really run by the American will, and how much is this fed by outside, not just Russia anymore, China in there too, of outside propagandists trying to sow distrust in democracy. So let's look ahead. Let's try to be helpful. Caitlin, in this last couple of minutes. We're going to build a campaign for 2024. And here's my mission. Here's what I'm thinking that our campaign, our KPI goal is, because this is what I think is going to happen in 2024. Our goal is not to elect Trump or Biden. It's not to promote one or the other. Our goal is to get people to not turn out to vote. That's our goal. We're going to run a campaign, and you and I are thinking of it as a propaganda, but our goal is to get people to not come out and vote. So my first question for you is pretty straightforward. What channels are we targeting?
Is it the obvious ones? I know there's not a right or wrong answer, actually. And
build the campaign. Yeah, build the campaign.
Obvious ones.
Yeah, I think all the social medias. What I think we need to keep an eye out, though, for is there's a new player on the scene since 2016, since even 2020, and that's TikTok. And that is well documented, owned by the Chinese government, partially. So TikTok is the channel that I think you and I go after, is our channel's TikTok, because Facebook and Instagram and Twitter they had to go in front of Congress about what happened in the election. TikTok's still clean, and that's where a lot of people are now. So we're going to go TikTok. What demographics are we targeting? Who do you think's most likely can we get not to turn out?
Gen Z.
Yep. You're exactly right.
Here, can I say why?
Yeah.
And you already alluded to this, or you flat out said it. The Israel and Hamas conflict, it's already started because Democrats are so anti-Biden right now because of the money he's funneling into Israel and not signing a ceasefire, that Democrats are just like throwing their hands up in the air. What the fuck do we do? And Gen Z is so passionate on politics that this could be the major issue, that they're just like putting their foot down entirely on democracy.
I completely agree. And it's only getting worse, and it's only getting easier for them. So we're targeting the young people. We're going TikTok. What strategy, what medium are we doing on TikTok, do you think?
What medium? What does that mean?
Like, how are we going to get traction on TikTok?
You've already just done such a good job of like already mapping out this campaign for us. It's like you mentioned, introduce a third party. So you're introducing an independent Bernie Sanders type character. And all of a sudden you get not so much influencers. I don't want to say influencers because people think of a very certain person, but people with a good following, from tens of thousands of people to hundreds of thousands of people. And on TikTok,
even
there's
people
with millions.
Even a thousand people.
A thousand people. Mm-hmm. I'm having flashbacks of every time I've like fallen victim to this myself.
Yeah, it's easy. I think this is the point, though. And this is why I wanted to cover it. It's so easy to do. It's there, right? But you're right. So this is what I wanted to talk about, is TikTok is still clean from any influence and owned by a foreign agent who is likely producing this content. Gen Z is the new wave. All we got to do is get them to feel apathetic, which historically young people have already turned out poorly to vote. So let's just up that number a little bit by making them feel they don't want to vote for two old dudes. They don't care. Leverage that, right?
It's less about not caring. It's more about caring about other demographics. So the Palestinian people, and I'm just going to keep using this example because
it's the most relevant.
Yeah. And recent is like, they care more about the Palestinian people and what is happening over there than they do. I don't want to put it up against each other, but it's like they care so much about the Palestinian people, and Biden is directly affecting their beliefs and the things that they care and are passionate about,
yes,
that they're not going to vote. And it's not necessarily because he's an old guy with, you know, quote unquote dementia. It's because he's funding something that they don't believe in. And so maybe that's another tactic, is like, there's more chaos being released as to like what the current president is funding, not just Israel, but like, where are our tax dollars actually going?
I think even if he releases something or he signs something and puts money in there, and you and I are thinking of campaigns to not get people to vote, it is a disinformation of what that money's actually going to. Yeah. Oh, this money he signed for Palestine is actually going to the UN, and the UN spreads it. Like, there's so much different disinformation we can put out there too. Even if it's good work, we can make it seem like shit and just make them feel like they're voting. boat is there's no point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like first aid, even if you donate your own personal dollars to the Red Cross actually takes that and spends $600,000 a year on their CEO instead of donating water directly to Palestinians. You know, yep. There's just like little ways to skew that.
So, but I do want to touch on the point of influencer marketing, because I think that is the tactic, that's the delivery method of this, right? A, influencers are, like we talked about, the vanity metrics. They want followers. So what are they doing to get followers? They are just pumping out content all day, every day, all the time. One person, and the thing with TikTok is one person says it, it's a seed. All these other micro influencers are going to do the same thing to try to get engagement without really checking the resources. The where I think this gets really dangerous is these influencers or these micro influencers with 1,000 people most likely are people you already know that are just putting out content because they heard it from somewhere and now they're trying to get their
that you already follow. And yeah, like you said, like you have our Gen Zers that are really passionate about human rights. And it just takes one person to put out false news that they don't know where they got it from. And then all of a sudden somebody's going to latch onto that. And like, and now it's a story and now it's picked up when it actually didn't come from anywhere.
And what Russia did in 2016 that I think they'll do again this time is, you know, they would find low level activists or small groups that are trying to protest something and be like, hey, we have an ad budget. We have an extra ad budget of, we represent XYZ company. We have an ad budget of $500. Are you cool if we put this towards your event? And everybody was like, yeah, man, promote my event. That's great. You think these influencers are going to turn down $1,000 for posting a message or two messages or three messages? Everybody's trying to get paid online. Yeah. So they're anybody offering them money, they're going to take it and they're going to do what they're told. And so this is what to look out for.
Well, I don't know if you even know this. Have you heard of the creator fund on, or maybe it's like a creator account on TikTok. I don't know when this started, but maybe six. I don't know. I don't want to put numbers. Maybe a year. Let's call it a year. But creators now can make videos that are, if they are over 1 minute long, TikTok pays them directly. So if they're 1 minute long, and of course you have to have a certain number of followers, and you have to apply to be in the creator fund and all this stuff. And that is how people are actually making like rent. So that's even scarier because you're feeding individual people who are trying to make rent, as opposed to like, at least, I mean, I hate to give Facebook credit, but at least you're funding, you're going through an organization that has checks and balances, whether those checks and balances are always there or not, they're still there. Versus like now with TikTok, they have the capability of going directly to these people with a massive amount of follow, and with the TikTok algorithm too. Damn, I was so against TikTok being banned in the United States. And now I like see, what's your take on that? Like, what do you feel with Congress banning TikTok? Do you have an opinion?
I think banning it is gonna be a terrible. I don't think you ban it. I think you put regulations. I think you make them headquartered in the United States. I think if they're paying creators, I think that needs to come from a United States based company, or maybe you have a bank affiliated with that. You can't go from China to creators' pockets. I think banning it is just gonna create a wormhole, and it's going to be filled with something else, right? I don't think banning it's going to have the results that legislators are looking for. Like banning it, it's like when they banned alcohol. What happened? Everybody just went underground. You know, like there's millions of other websites online. You're not going to ban them all.
4chan. We're all on 4chan now.
Yeah, like you're not going to ban them all, right? Like there's going to be something.
On a surface level, I was like, why are we banning TikTok? Like all it is a bunch of dances. But now that we're having this conversation, like I'm actually like a little nervous of all of this shit. Like I have personally fallen victim to this, and I do feel like I'm pretty smart using the internet.
You are. It's easy to fall for.
Yeah. And like the whole TikTok thing, like you just get sucked into drama. You get sucked into stories. Like there are individual people telling you stories and telling you like things that are happening that you need to be invested in. And I get sucked into that. But you know, now that I'm talking out loud, it's like, yeah, you're right. Like China is paying them directly with the creator fund, with the creator account. That is how they make money. It's not, it's no longer influencing. It's, if you have a certain number of followers, we will pay you to just talk for 1 minute. Yep. Wowza.
Yeah. And don't you think that was strategic too? Like, they launched it a year ago. They're like, hey, we just want to make this seem like crazy. A legitimate fund.
And I've always like wondered about it. It's like, why are they doing this? Like, let's just ask the bigger question, scale out. Why did they create the creator fund? I get it. You're activating users. You're making people engage with your own app, which then advertisers will continue to fund advertisements.
And now you have a platform in America to disseminate your party line information, your propaganda.
But Facebook and Instagram were able to do that without funding creators directly from their own pockets. So why is TikTok doing that?
I think it's strategic. So let's just wrap this up with my recommendations on what you can do, what you can look out for. I have two basic principles that anybody can do. Just be mindful going into 2024 to try to help you. Well, let's make it three things now that you accepted a friend request. Number one is don't accept friend requests from people you don't know.
You didn't go to high school with them.
Yeah, you did not go to high school with them. You don't, just stop. Stop. Don't accept, unless you've met them directly in person and you're like, oh yeah, I remember you from that time. Do not do it. Stop. That's number one. Stop. Not you direct. I'm talking to the listeners.
You were yelling at me. I felt it through the screen.
I was not. No, it's a simple thing to do. Moving forward, now if you do it after I've told you, then I will be like, Caitlin. But now you know, right? If you don't know, you don't know. Second thing that you can do is, when I ran the weed blog back in the day, when 2016 was going on, we would notice, we would put out an article, we would get 3 million shares and only 10,000 people from Facebook would actually click in and read the article, right? Facebook, social media, with especially Facebook and maybe even LinkedIn a little bit, do not share, comment, like something based on the headline, right? Do not just read the headline and say, I agree with that, and share it to your network. Click into it, make Russia propagandists do their due diligence, according to Caitlin, and have them build a website, check the resource, read the article before you share or like or comment, right? Do this quick commenting of seeing a headline. I don't like that. I disagree with that. That is what they're looking for, right? Do your due diligence.
Question, is there anything out there where people can check if it's a legitimate site run by an American organization?
Yeah, I mean, technically, yes, you can, but I think that's too technical for like the actual average.
Okay, there's no like plug and play where you can just copy and paste the link. Okay.
No, but truly, like, at the heart of it, as much as we shit on traditional media, the BBC, The Guardian, CNN, like Fox News, for Christ's sakes, the Drudge Report, whatever it might be, whatever political side you land on, there are traditional websites that have been doing this prior to social media for a long time.
Checks and balances.
That are there. If it's something like US Weekly, DC Weekly, just get off of it. You don't need those little niche subsites that are just going to validate your opinion so you can share their article. Just get in there, read the article. Like Caitlin said, with AI coming in, it's difficult to tell, but you can see when something's just put together. A great example of this is The Onion. Right? In and of itself, Onion articles on social media will cause an uproar because people don't, the actual article's two paragraphs long. They don't write the article. They just come up with funny headlines and it's satirical and people will go nuts and they'll think it's real because they don't click into the article. Click into the article. If something angers you or excites you or you think something is a good story, click into it and read the fucking article. Take the extra 2 minutes before you engage. And Caitlin's not going to like my last one. Instagram, TikTok are not news sources. They are not sources of news. Get your entertainment, see the dances, see memes, catch up on the reality show drama. I don't give a shit. Do not do that. Do skip past that shit. If somebody's talking about Israel and Hamas and the Palestinian protests, skip it. This is not the platform for it. Don't engage with it, right? do not get your news from Instagram and TikTok. That is my recommendation for you guys. I know it takes work. It takes work. But you know why Russian propaganda is working? Is because it's fucking convenient. It's convenient to just read the headline. It's convenient to scroll on TikTok and feel informed about what's going on. It's all convenient. And they're preying on that to sow distrust. Do you have any left?
I got fired up
at the end there. Well, welcome back to season 4. We appreciate you. And we will be back next week. We'll see you then.
Bye. For those of you with short attention spans, we have social channels that play clips, give updates, and add some fun to your feed. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Manipulating the Masses Pod. That's at Manipulating the Masses Pod. And if you've enjoyed the show, be sure to leave us a 5-star review, as this helps us manipulate the algorithm to find new listeners like you. Thank you, and stay sane, people.